From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, December the 2nd through Sunday, December 4th. I'm Philip Grant. The 20th annual Winter Walk was held on Saturday night, December the 3rd, in Hudson. Thousands attended the event, which featured the local premiere of Phil Klein's Unsilent Night, a musical procession up Warren Street from Front Street to the 7th Street Park. Winter Walk is organized by the Hudson Opera House, and the event now encompasses nearly all of the Central Business District and adjoining parts of the city. This year, the Winter Walk Window Decorating Contest Best Community Windows Awards went to Love Is All Window at 238 Warren, Mrs. Zito's Kindergarten Class for the Hudson Police Department Windows, The Second Show, and The Bee's Knees. The panel of anonymous judges also awarded two special appreciation citations to Taconic Biosciences for its continued financial support of the event and to the Bee's Knees for decorating the city parking meters to alert drivers to the city's month of free parking. Daniel Zuckerman reported in the Daily Mail that the Catskill Bridge Street Theater formally opened its main stage with a ribbon cutting last week. State Senator George Amador and Catskill Village President Heather Bagshaw were among the politicians in attendance. Co-owner John Soule said the theater received a $105,000 grant from the State Department of Homes and Community Renewal for the project, which still has an incomplete backstage. He said, and I quote, "The theater is functional. We still got work to do," end quote. The stage has already hosted The Tavern and Frankenstein the Modern Prometheus this fall. Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper on the status of the Dutch Inn, a historic property located in the village of Kinderhook. The three-story structure is at the center of a legal dispute currently making its way through the courts. It is alleged that the current owner of the building, 8 Broad Street Holdings, LLC, failed to follow through on a sales agreement with buyer Paul Calgano. Calgano took the matter to court to enforce the deal, and Acting State Supreme Court Judge Richard Kowiek ruled in his favor. The state appellate court eventually upheld Kowiek's decision. It indicated Calgano has a valid contract to purchase the property. The case has now been sent back to Kowiek. Village Economic Development Director Renee Schur told the Village Board at a meeting on November the 9th she does not know when the case will move forward, but in the meantime the building will remain closed as it has been for some time. The Dutch Inn building is located at 8 Broad Street, was built in 1856, and has served as a shoe store, a meeting hall for the Masons, an inn, and a bar and restaurant. The Dutch Inn was shuttered in 2001 after the County Department of Health identified an issue with the building's sewage disposal system. Claire Hughes reported at Capital Confidential a new law signed by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo on Friday, December the 2nd, created a new category of health worker in New York. Under the new law, advanced home health aides will now receive supplementary training and work under the supervision of a registered nurse employed by home care agencies, hospice programs, or enhanced assisted living residences. An advanced home health aide will be allowed to administer routine pre-filled medications, such as injections of insulin or epinephrine. The idea is to allow more New Yorkers to receive care at home. State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker said, and I quote, "With this new law, we will have more skilled home health aides not only supporting their clients, but helping individual caregivers by shouldering more of the burden of care," end quote. Harry Allen reported in the Chatham Courier that work is underway to turn the former Methodist Episcopal Church in Spencertown into Austerlitz Town Hall. The building was purchased by the town from Martin Parker, the owner and operator of the Art and Antique Company, with the financial support of the Ellsworth Kelly Foundation. The town closed on the purchase in February 2015. The building is now structurally sound, so the next stage is renovation and the construction of an addition, Town Supervisor Robert Lagonia said. In mid-October, the Ellsworth Kelly Foundation awarded the town an additional grant of $800,000 to support the restoration of the building. Because the town hall project is being funded by donations, there will be no impact on taxpayers, Lagonia said. Chris McKenna is reporting in the fray that the U.S. House of Representatives last week approved a medical research bill which included a proposal meant to speed the development of treatments for Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses introduced by Representatives Chris Gibson and Sean Maloney last week. The Lyme section of the 21st Century Cures Act creates an interagency working group to coordinate the federal government's research on tick-borne diseases and gather input from doctors and patients. It also requires the Secretary of Health and Human Services to meet with the group and give Congress a report within 3 years on combating tick-borne diseases. In a statement, Gibson, a Kinderhook Republican, thanked patients and advocates for helping him push the legislation, saying, and I quote, "their voices made a difference," end quote. Maloney, a Cold Spring Democrat, said, and I quote, "I'm proud that by working across the aisle with Congressman Chris Gibson, we have passed the most important piece of Lyme disease legislation ever written," end quote. For our final story, Patricia Doxey reported in the Daily Freeman that the public could have unrestricted access to the northern rim of the Ashkokan Reservoir by 2018. Chris White, Deputy Director of the Ulster County Planning Department, last week unveiled plans for the development of a recreational trail that will run along the 11.5-mile railroad line located adjacent to the reservoir. White said the county expects construction to begin in October of 2017 and the trail to open to the public in October of 2018. The trail will follow the former Ulster and Delaware Railroad corridor and is expected to cost $8.5 million. The State Department of Environmental Protection said it will construct trailheads with parking and picnic areas at the eastern and western ends of the trail and at Jones Cove as well. White said the county will accept comment on the plan through February. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting rain and snow likely before noon, turning into rain between noon and 3 p.m., then possibly mixing with snow again after 3 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 40 degrees. For Monday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 27. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, a chance of rain after 1 p.m., mixing with snow after 4 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 40 degrees. On Tuesday night, rain and snow are likely, becoming all snow after 1 a.m. It will be cloudy with a low around 31. The overnight snowfall could have an impact on the morning commute. And on Wednesday, a chance of snow before 9 a.m., then mixing with rain and eventually turning into rain showers afternoon. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 40 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of rain and snow showers before midnight, possibly turning into snow overnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Sunrise today was at 7:09 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:23 p.m. That will give us 9 hours and 13 minutes of daylight, about 1 minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 5th day of December, 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Phil Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.